Shalom to all. Today's daf is Chol Daf Kof Chaf Zayin. We're starting Kof Chaf Aleph Beis about several lines off the bottom with the words Tanur Rabbanan. And today's daf is sponsored by Lilinish Mas Marsh Mem Sar Bas Biakam Moshe Hernish Amos should have an Aliyah. So Mishnah mentioned this Achbar, this mouse, which is half basar, half adama, because it grows from some sort of garbage heap. And now we're going to bring this up in a brisa. So the Gemara tells us Tanur Rabbanan we have a brisa. Mitoch Shenemar, from the fact that the pasuk says regarding Shratzim Achbar, that's one of the Shratzim, and Achbar a mouse. Shmeini Afil Achbar Shabbat Yam Shishmai Achbar. I would hear from this that even a mouse in the sea, which is called an Achbar, also has a din of Shratzim. There's a type of fish that looks like a mouse, so it's called a mouse. So I would say that also has a din of shratim. However, v'dinhu, I would say kavachomer the opposite. Timi b'chulda v'timi b'achbar. The Torah is matami with a chulda, which is usually translated as a weasel. That's type of sheretz, and also is matami with an achbar. Now machulda min hagadol al aretz av achbar min hagadol al aretz. A chulda that lives and develops only on the ground, so maybe an achbar as well. The type of achbar that lives on the land, that's something that's matami as sheretz, not one in the sea. Ay, or perhaps klachol derchzu. Maybe we should go the other way. Timi b'chulda v'timi b'achbar. The Torah is matami with a chulda and achbar, and we should say that ma chulda kol sheshma chulda av achbar kol sheshma achbar afilu achbar shebayam sheshma achbar. Just like anything that's called a chulda has a din of chulda, so to achbar, anything that's called an achbar should have that din, and that would include achbar in the yam, this achbar type fish, because it's called achbar. So maybe it is metame. So to that, talmud loymer, that's where we have to have a pasuk. It says al haaretz, namely pasuk b'shratzim says al haaretz, and so we learn only on the ground. As the brayso, not so quick. I al haaretz, if you want to use the word al haaretz, yachol, maybe you should say al haaretz yitma, that anything that's called an achbar is matame if it's on the land, yerd liyam lo yitma, if it goes down to the sea, so then it's not matame. In other words, it could be that the achbar of the yam is matame if it's on dry land, and the achbar of the dry land, if it's in the water, let's say it fell in and drowned, so maybe it's not matame. Perhaps that's what the pasuk al haaretz tells us. So to that, the pasuk continues, the pasuk says ha shayretz. The pasuk really could say v'zel chem atame basheretz al haaretz, but instead it says v'zel chem atame basheretz ha shayretz al haaretz. We have this extra word ha shayretz that tells us kol makom shayretz, that any place that it's shayretz, and the word is loosely translated as to creep or crawl or slither, and that could be done in the water. And that's how we know that the word al haaretz is teaching us that we're specifically referring to the min, the type that's on the aretz, and not the type that's in the water. However, the brass continues, who says that's a drasha out of the word ha shayretz? Oy einay ela, maybe this is the proper drasha ha shayretz. What does this word tell us? Kol hamashretz yitma loy mashretz loy yitma, anything which is mashretz is matame, but if it's not mashretz, it's not matame. We're going to clarify what that means in a moment. And what does that mean? Oiti achbar shechetzu yabatzer v'chetzu yadama. I'm going to exclude this mouse from the Mishnah, which is half flesh, half earth. Shein par v'rava. It doesn't reproduce like regular. In other words, the word hashayretz, coming from the word sheretz, doesn't just mean creep, crawl, slither, like we just mentioned before. It also means to reproduce normally, like when the Yidden were in Mitzrayim, and it says ubnei Yisrael paru vayishritzu. That means to reproduce. So anything that doesn't reproduce like normal, such as mouse, which is half earth, half flesh, so maybe that doesn't have the din of shratzim. However, says the rest is not so quick. V'dinhu would be kavachomer the other way around. Timi b'chulda v'timi b'achbar. We're in time with the chulda, in time with the achbar. Ma chulda kol sheshma chulda. Just like chulda, if it's called chulda, it has that din of achbar kol sheshma achbar. So to achbar, if it's called achbar, it has that din avi achbar shechetzei basar v'chetzei adama. I'll also include an achbar, which is half basar, half adama. That would be counted as an achbar. Oy, says the brisa, klachol derchzu. Maybe go the other way. Ma chulda par v'rave af achbar par v'rave. Just like chulda reproduces like regular, so to achbar has to reproduce like regular in order to be called an achbar, and this achbar, which is half adama, half basar, doesn't reproduce like that, so maybe it's not achbar. Tamalimer basheretz, that's the way of this extra word of basheretz, which tells us that even though it's half mouse, half earth, it's still considered a sheretz and it's metame. Many of the word hasheretz tells us that a sheretz is metame both on land and even it's in the water, and al aretz tells us it's only a type of sheretz which is from the aretz that's metame like that, but if the sheretz is from the sea, meaning it's this mouse type fish, that's not metame. However, amalei humer rabban rava, one of the rabban asked rava, ema, why didn't I say that basheretz lasui achbar shechetzei basar v'chetzei adama? The word basheretz, you're right, is including what we just said it is, this type of mass which is half basar, half adama, and that's considered regular sheretz. However, here's the difference in the drasha. Hasheretz, what does that tell us? Kol shu sheretz afilu achbar shebayam, anything which is sheretz, and that would include even an achbar from the sea, and maybe shom al haaretz, if you're going to say, yeah, but what about the word al haaretz that we had just said before, tells us that only a mouse from the land is metame. And so I'd respond to that, says this rabbanon to rava, the really the proper drasha is al haaretz yitame, yar liyam lo yitame. It just means that if it's on land, it's metame, and that's even if it came from the sea, and if it's in the sea, if it's in the water, it's not metame, even if it comes from land. So maybe that's the drasha. Rav responded to him, Mechad shavisa liyam makom toma mali hacha mali hacha. Once you're saying that the yam is a place of toma, which means that even something coming from the sea, this mouse type fish, you're saying that could have toma's sheretz, so what does it make a difference if it's here or there? Why are you differentiating and saying that only if it's on dry land, it's metame? That doesn't make sense. If you're allowing something from the sea to have the din of a sheretz, Eretz, so it should be metame even if it's in the sea. So if it's not a valid drasha, ask the Gemara a different question. We still need this word ala aretz to exclude something else, namely when we have suffik tuma, which is floating. The Amar of Yitzchak Ravdimi, he says al haaretz lahoitzi suffik tuma tzafa. The word ala aretz tells us they were excluding suffik tuma, which is floating, which means if we have real tuma, which is floating, and there's just a suffik whether or not a person touched it, we're metaharim in all situations because of this word al haaretz. So how could we say that it's being used for the mouse drasha? The answer is tarti ala aretz ksivi. We have two words al haaretz, and therefore we have both drashas. Anything you discussed from Shratzim Tana Rabbanu Sotan Braisa, when the pasuk says hatzav lemineu, the tzav according to its min, this is one of the Shratzim, often translated as a frog or a toad. That's lahavia arid, and actually some pronounce it as arvad over here. That's because throughout Gemara we find the word arid as referring to a wild donkey, and over here we're not talking about a wild donkey, we're referring to an arvad, which we're about to see in a moment what that is. Uben hanefilim salamandra, the word tzav in the pasuk is coming to include these three things: the arvad, ben nefilim, and salamandra, which is salamander. They're all considered in the category of tzav. Now we're going to see that an arvad is a cross between a tzav and a nachash. Ben nefilim is unclear what it is, and salamandra, which we translate as salamander, Rashi explains is some sort of creature that's created from fire and kshafim and witchcraft, and the salamander is impervious to fire, and if one rubs themselves with salamander blood, they're also unable to be affected by fire. Either which way, all these things are considered a tzav, and so therefore they're shratzim. Now, Rabbi Kiva got to this pasuk, the one that we just quoted, of Hatzav Lemineu, Imer, he would say as follows, Ma Rab Masach Hashem, how great are your works, Hashem? Yash Chabriyas Gdeles Bayam, Yash Chabriyas Gdeles Bayabasha. You have creatures or creations that live or that grow, they're raised in the sea and some on dry land, and Shabayam Mali Oz Bayabasha Miyan Mesais, Shabayabasha Mali Yardis Liyam Miyan Mesais. The ones from the sea, if they would come on dry land, they would die right away, and the ones from dry land, if they would go into the sea, they would die right away. And Yash Chabriyas Gdeles Ba'ur, Yash Chabriyas Gdeles Ba'avir. You have creatures that grow or live in fire and those that live in the air. The fire is referring to the salamander that we just mentioned. The ones from the fire, if they would go into the air, they would die. The ones from the air, if they would go into fire, they would die. And so we see that your world is created perfect. Each one lives and grows and is raised in its own habitat, perfect for it. And therefore, it's very apropos to say this pasuk, Ma Rabba Masach Hashem. And continue to discuss on Rabbanu Vibraiso. Kol she'yesh b'yabasha, yesh b'yam, chutz min achulda. Anything that we have on dry land, we have some sort of counterpart in the sea, except for a chulda, except for this weasel. And Ramzeri says, my crow, what's a pasuk that supports this? So we have a pasuk that tells us, Hazinu kol yesh v'chaled, listen up, all your dwellers of chaled. Now, chaled is referring to dry land over here, and it's being called this because a chulda only lives on dry land. There is no such counterpart on the water. Now, continue to discuss something similar. Amar Rav Yehoshua tells us, Bevare denarash. Bevare over here is literally translated as beavers, and it sounds exactly like that. Bevare, beavers. And we all know that beavers are those ones that chew at tree trunks and build dams and rivers. So the beavers of Narash, Einun min ha-yishuv, they're not from the yishuv, which means they're not considered land creatures, rather water creatures. Now, once we mention Narash, we have a few select things to say about the city. Amar Rav Papa tells us, Bishamta Narash. Narash, the city, this area, is in Shamta, it's in Cherim, it's excommunicated. Tarbe Mashchev Al Yasei, it's fat, it's hide, and it's tail. In other words, everyone, every single person in Narash, they're all terrible people. And another thing about Narash, the Pasuk tells us, Eretz, Eretz, Aretz, Shimi Devar Hashem, land, 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 hear the word of Hashem. Amar Rav Papa says about this, Loi Ava Narash, Shimi Devar Hashem, Narash doesn't want to listen to the words of Hashem. They're such terrible people over there. More about them and other people as well from different cities. Amar Gidol Amar Rav, Nishar Nashkaich, if somebody from Narash kisses you, Mani Kachach, you should count your teeth because they're all a bunch of robbers. And could be when the fellow kissed you, he stole your teeth. And Nahar Pagdal, Avyach, if somebody from Nahar Pakaid is accompanying you along the way, Miglimi Shapir the Chadialach, it's just because he saw a really nice cloak on you and he's going to steal it from you. And Pumbadisa, Lavyach, if someone from Pumbadisa is accompanying you, Ashne Ushpizach, you should change the place where you were going to stay overnight because he's probably going to come back in the middle of the night and rob you, so you should quickly change your dwellings to a different hotel. Now back to our discussion of Shratzim, Amar Funa Bar Taisa, he tells us, Pamachas Lachti Levad, one time I went to this place called Vad, Verisi Nachash Shukarach Al Hatzav. I saw a Nachash, a snake, which was Karach, it was hanging around, it was spending a lot of time with itself, which we had said is sometimes translated as a frog or a toad. Now Liyamim, after some time, Yotza Arvod Mibinehem, and Arvod came from them, which means they mated, and they gave birth to this Arvod, which is a terrible creature that was biting everyone and killing them. And when I came to Rishimun Chassid, and I told him this, Amar Li, he said to me, Amakash Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Hey, me view Briya Shaloi Barasi Ba'ilami, they brought creations that I didn't create in my world. The people of Vad were known to crossbreed animals, and Hashem says, look, these people are creating things that I didn't bring in the world. Afani Avi Alein Briya Shaloi Barasi Ba'ilami, I'm also going to bring something on them that I didn't create into this world. And so he caused an Arvod to be created from this crossbreed of a snake and a toad, and then went around biting and killing people. Ask the Gemara, how could this be? Amar Meir was stated, Kol Shetashmishin V'Brun Shava Yaldin Megadlin Zemizeh. Anything that the way that they're mishamish, the way that they're intimate, and their length of their pregnancy are the same, so they're able to give birth and nurse from each other. If the way they have tashmish and their length of pregnancy is not the same, so they're not able to have children and nurse from each other. The snake's pregnancy is much longer than a frog or toad, and so how could these two be mated in order to produce this arvod creature? So Amaravi says, no, it's a nace within a nace. Then not only did two different species mate with each other, which is very uncommon, they even had offspring. Ask the Gemara, hypernusahu, this is considered a punishment. What type of nace is that? Usually Hashem makes a nace to show something wonderful, but a punishment? Why are you calling that a nace? And the answer is, yeah, my nace b'sech nace, lipuronus. Why is it a nace b'sech nace? For punishment, in order to show wicked people that Hashem could create a nace in order to punish them. So yes, it's called a nace b'sech nace. And going back to discuss what we were talking about in previous Mishnahs and Gemaras, namely, if we have flesh that came off an animal, what's its din? Is it nevela? Is something else? And we actually had this in an earlier parak as well. The Mishnah tells us, either a limb or flesh, which is meduldol, it's hanging off of an animal. So matamatomas eichlin, where it is, utsrichen hechsher, but it requires hechsher as to be made susceptible to mekabel tumah by getting wet with one of the seven liquids. Now, it's not considered aver menachai or basar menachai because it's not fully detached from the animal. However, since it's hanging from the animal, it is considered eichlin, as we have mentioned in the past, and therefore it is matamatomas eichlin if, for example, dead sharetz touches it. However, as the Mishnah just said, it does require hechsher. It has to be made susceptible to mekabel tumah. That would be if a person thinks to himself, you know what, I'm going to cut this off and feed it to a non-Jew, so then it's able to be eichlin. So as long as it undergoes hechsher, it's able to mekabel tumas eichlin. Let's say this animal was shechted, so now this piece that was hanging off of it has become mukhshir lekabel tumah because of the blood of the animal, and that's even if the blood didn't actually touch this piece, since the blood was machshir one part of the animal and the whole thing is considered connected. And so now this piece or his limb that was dangling off is considered mukhshir lekabel tumah. Divrei Rav Meir, that's Rav Meir's opinion, whereas Rav Shimon Omer loy hukhshir. Rav Shimon says it's not mukhshir lekabel tumah, and we're going to see why that is in the Gemara. Now what about if it wasn't shechted, but mesa habehema, the animal died, so abasar tzarech hechsher, this flesh that was dangling off, it requires hechsher, and ho'ever metame shum ever min hachai, this limb that was dangling off before is metame as ever min hachai, ve'en metame shum ever nevela, it's not metame as regular ever nevela, divrei Meir, Rav Meir's opinion, whereas Rav Shimon's metahir it, and the reason why it's metahir as ever min hachai is because he holds misa oisa nipul, that when it died without being shechted, that makes it into nipul. It's as if it fell off the animal completely right before it died, so it's not considered nevela, it's actually considered aver menachai, which is a slightly different type of tumah than nevela, and we'll see how that is in the Gemara. Now the Gemara begins by discussing this first din of the basar, which is medoldol, it's hanging off of the animal, and we said it's metame tumas eichlin. Now we learn from here, says the Gemara, tumas eichlin in tumas nevela loy, that it's metame tumas eichlin, but it's not metame tumas nevela. As the Gemara, has that work? Hechidami, idmalan arucha, if this flesh was more attached, it was able to regenerate and become part of the animal once again, so afilo tumas eichlin namilo tamu, it shouldn't even be metame tumas eichlin, because really it's considered connected to the animal, and it's not just flesh dangling off of it. And vida ein malan aruka, if it's not able to regenerate, so tumas nevela nami lutmu, it should be tami tumas nevela, because for all intents and purposes, it's not considered attached to the animals, so it should be considered nevela, which really means aver menachai over here. The bottom line is, how are we saying that it's at this in-between state? It's considered detached to the extent that it's food, so it's metame tumas eichlin, but it's not detached enough that it's considered nevela or aver menachai. How are we understanding that? The answer is, la'olam ein malan aruka, really it's not able to regenerate. Vashani tumas nevela, again, meaning aver menachai is different. The Rachmana Omer, the pasuk says, ki yipol. As we've had this pasuk many times before, it says, v'chi yipol minivlasam al kozar zerua, if from their nevela, it falls. Now, what do we learn from this lashon of yipol? Ad shi yipol, it has to completely fall off the animal in order to be able to say that it's aver menachai and it's metame a high level of tomo. But since it hasn't completely fallen off, it's still partially attached, so it's not considered nevela. And Tanya Namach, we rest just like this. However, basar hamiduldon bebehemo, we have a limb or flesh that's hanging, it's dangling off of an animal, umurun b'chotasara, and it's still attached by a very thin strand, like a strand of hair, yachli tamatomas nevela, you might think it's matamatomas nevela, again, which means aver menachai over here. Tamalayu, so the pasuk says, yipol, ad shi yipol, it has to fall off completely. It says the Gemara, okay, vafilu hachi, tomas eichlin metamu, even so, it is metame tomas eichlin. That means, again, as we had said, that let's say dead sherets touches it, so now it's tame, and it can be metame other foods. So it is in this in-between stage, it kind of has this quasi-status of being attached, because it's not metame as aver menachai, but also considered detached, because metame tomas eichlin. Says the Gemara, Messiah Rabbi Barashi, this right for Rabbi Barashi, Amar Shmuel, he tells us, if we have figs that dried up when they were still attached, they dried up in their stems, they're attached to the tree and they dried up, they are able to metame tumas eichlin. That means for all intents and purposes, they're considered detached because fruit, while it's attached to the tree, is not able to metame tumas eichlin. Eichlin, but these figs, they dried up. So Yibim Tama Tomas Eichlin, however, Vatosh Men B'Shabbos, Chayv Chatos. If someone detaches them on Shabbos, he's Chayv Chatos for detaching something from a tree on Shabbos. So we see that it has this quasi status. It's partially attached, partially not attached. So the Gemara continues, let's say the following is also a raya. We have a brass that tells us, Yurakas should some kubibayin, vegetables that dried up and their stems are still attached, could go in Kruvadalas, for example, cabbage and gourd. They're not Matama Tomas Eichlin. That's because cabbage and gourd specifically, when they dry up, they're as hard as eights as wood and they're not edible. Now let's say Ktsatsan V'Yivshan, he cut them off and he dried them out. Matama Tomas Eichlin, they are Ilum Matama Tomas Eichlin. Now we clarify this. Ktsatsan V'Yivshan Salgadaitach, do you really think that if he cut them off and he dried them, that they're Matama Tomas Eichlin? How does that make sense? Eitz Ma'amahu, it's just wood. And we just said before that cabbage and gourd, when they dry out, they're so hard, they're not able to be eaten. So what does that mean? If you cut them and dried them, they're Matama Tomas Eichlin. From Rav Yitzchak clarifies that no, Be'almanas Liyabshan, it's where he cut them with intention to dry them out, calls man, they're not fully dry, so then they are Matama Tomas Eichlin. Now, bottom line, what do we see from this Braisa? Taima de Kurvadalasu, the only reason why, when it's dried, while it's still attached to its stem, that it's not Matama Tomas Eichlin is because we're talking about Kurvin de Las, given to Yivshan, since they're dried out, Lavane Achilin Enu, they're not able to be eaten, so they're not Matama Tomas Eichlin. But that's Mashma, Hashar Peiris Matame, that other Peiris, which are able to be eaten when they're dried, they would be Matama Tomas Eichlin. What's the case we're referring to? If we're saying that them and the stem that they're attached to completely dried, pshita, of course it's Matama Tomas Eichlin. It's not considered connected to the ground. If the stem is also dry, so for all intents and purposes, it's considered detached. So of course it's Matama Tomas Eichlin. That's not a chiddush. It must be the Brass is talking about where dried up, where only it, the fruit itself dried up, but not the stem, and still we see them as Matama Tomas Eichlin, even though it's considered detached. That seems to be just like what Shmuel said. Says the Gemara, no, not a raya. The Braisa could actually be talking about where it and the stem dried out. And so what's the chiddush? Really the seifo. The main thing that we're learning is from the next part that he cut them with intention to dry them out. And the chiddush over there is that as long as they're not fully dry, they're able to become a Tomas Eichlin, because again, we're talking about cabbage and gourd, that while they're still not fully dry, they're edible. So that's really the main chiddush. This Braisa is not necessarily raya for Shmuel. Says the Gemara, Tashma. Here we're going to try to ask a question on Shmuel. What about the following? Ilon shenifshachu by peiros, a tree that broke or it split and it had fruit on the branch that broke off. So I ran katlushin, they're considered like they're detached, and that means if he were to take one off on Shabbos, it's not like he took a fruit off of a tree on Shabbos because this branch isn't attached to the tree anymore. Now what about the following? Before the branch broke off the tree, yavshu, the fruits dried out. Harin kimichubarin, they're considered like they're attached. Now my love, shouldn't we learn from here the matlushin l'chol devrein? Just like in the first case of the braisa, when the branch broke off, we say it's considered detached in regards to everything. Af mechubarin l'chol devrein. So too, when the branch is still attached and it dried out, it's considered attached in regards to everything. And that's not like Shmuel, because Shmuel says that there's a difference, that it's considered detached in regards to Tomas Eichlin, but it's considered attached in regards to Shabbos. If you pull it off the tree on Shabbos, it would be chai for doing a malacha. But it's much from our understanding of the Braisa, that the Reish and the Seifa are referring to the same thing, that if the fruit dried out while it was attached to the tree, it's considered completely attached, and that means it would not be Matama Tomas Eichlin. Definitely not like Shmuel, says the Gemara. Me the Iria, is that really so? You're understanding the Braisa wrong. This one's like this one, and that one's like that one. Meaning, the Reish is the Reish, and the Seifa is the Seifa. The Reish, which is referring to a branch that broke off the tree. So you're right, those fruits are considered completely detached, both in regards to Tomas Eichlin and in regards to Shabbos. But the Seifa, the Braisa, where the fruits dried out while they were still attached to the tree, so then there's actually a difference. In regards to Tomas Eichlin, they're Metame, but in regards to Shabbos, they're still considered attached, so that actually would be like Shmuel, not Akasha. It would actually be a Raya for him. And continue to discuss the next part of the Mishnah, Nishchata Behem of Chulu. If this animal that had the hanging flesh or limb was shechted, so we had a machlekes from Meir and Reb Shimon. Reb Meir says that now was shechted, this dangling flesh and limb became Mokshel Kalbutomos. Reb Shimon says, no, it didn't. So the question is, Mike and Mifligi, what are they arguing about? And we're going to have six different explanations of how they're arguing, some today and some tomorrow. So Amar Rabba, Rabba says, Behem and Nasas Yavla Eber Kamifligi, the machlekes is, does the animal become a yad? Does it become a handle for the limb that's hanging off? Mar Savar, Behem and Nasas Yavla Eber. Reb Shimon holds, the behemoth doesn't become a yad for the aver. You can't say that an entire animal becomes a yad for one limb. Whereas Umar Sover Behemoth Nasi Yad La'aver, Reb Meir holds that the animal does become a yad for the aver. And we know that the yada is their mevi and mitzi toma, and they're also mevi hechsher. So if the yad becomes mokshel lekabel toma, that would also be machsher, the main thing. So according to Reb Meir, the animal becomes mokshel lekabel toma, and it's a yad for the aver which is dangling. So the aver also becomes mokshel lekabel toma. According to Reb Shimon, the animal might become mokshel lekabel toma, but it's not considered a yad for this little thing that's dangling off of it. So that thing, that aver, that piece of meat is not mokshel kabel toma. Here's our second explanation. Abaye says, they're they're arguing about, if you hold the small part and the larger part is not schlepped along with it, how do we view that? Meir Sava, Reb Meir holds, that even if you hold the small one and the large one doesn't come with it, it's still considered part of it. And that's because since when you hold the large part, the small part comes with it, so the small and large part are considered connected. However, Meir Sava, Reb Shimon holds, it's not like it. Namely, Reb Shimon holds that if you grab onto this limb which is dangling and you try to pull the animal with it, the limb's just going to snap right off the animal. It's not going to be able to schlep the whole animal with it, so it's not considered connected to it. Yeah, you're right. If you pull the animal, the limb's going to come with it, but it's still not considered connected. And therefore, just because the animal's moksha lekabel toma, that's not going to go to the small limb. They're not considered connected. Now, before we get to our next answer, the Gemara just continues, Rabbi Yochanan holds the same thing, just like Abaye explained, that that's what the Machlaika says. How do we know this? Because Rabbi Yochanan ramid Rav Meir ad Rav Meir. Rabbi Yochanan asks a stira, shitas Rav Meir on himself. He asks as follows, Mi amar Rav Meir eichas bakatan ve'in gadol ayli imay hareyu kamayu? Did Rav Meir really say that if somebody holds onto the small part and he tries to schlep the large one, it's not going to come along with it? Really, the small one is considered part of the larger one? How could you say that? Rav Meir will ask you a stira. We have Mishnah that tells us, eichas shenifresu ma'ir miktas. We have food. This is specifically talking about truma, which is broken, but it's still a little bit ma'ir, which means it's still a little bit attached. For example, you have a truma cucumber. It was broken, but not fully in half. It's still partially attached. So Kav Chachas Omer Alfa Atap Rav Meir says, Im eiches bakaton v'gadol oyle imoy hareyu kamayu. If you hold on to the smaller piece of the cucumber, that was our example, and the larger piece is schlepped along with it, so then they're considered connected. V'mlav enu kamayu. If not, then they're not considered connected. And this specifically in regards to a tevul yaim. We know a person who's tamei who went to the mikveh that day. He's a tevul yaim. He still is going to passel truma if he touches it. He has to wait till harav shemesh. He has to wait till nightfall in order to be 100% tahar. So Meir says in this case, we have a person who's a tevul yaim. If he touches the small piece, that's going to be metame everything over here. And again, it's only the situation where the small piece is able to schlep the large one along with it. If not, then the small and large are considered detached. Now, Amar Yechon Rechon says, Mukhlefes HaShita, this Shita switched around, which means Rav Meir switched around his Shita in this situation. Usually, Rav Meir holds that if you hold on to the small one, even if the large one is not schlepped along with it, they're still considered connected. However, Rav Meir over here is holding different than he usually does. As we see from Yechon's comment, that generally, Rav Meir does hold that even though the small part can't schlep the large part, as long as the large part could schlep the small part, they're considered connected, and that would be our case over here with the limb that's hanging off the animal. We see clearly that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Abaye. So Gemara says, okay, but now just asks on this question that Rabbi Yochanan had, that Rav Meir seems to switch his shita around. My question, what's the problem that Rav Meir holds different over here in this Mishnah about Tevul Yom, and he doesn't hold that elsewhere? Dilma, Shani Leila Rav Meir bein Tevul Yom l'shar Tumas. Maybe Rav Meir holds that Tevul Yom is different than other Tumas. Tevul Yom is a lighter type of Tuma. Rashi calls it a Tuma d'Rabbanan. It's not really a Tuma d'Rabbanan, it's just a lighter type of Tuma. So maybe that's why Rav Meir specifically holds, in this case of Tevul Yom, by Truma, that if the small piece is not able to schlep the large one along, so they're not considered connected. But it could be with other tumas, for example, tumas nevela or aver menachai, like our mishnah. Rav Meir is machmir because it's a much more chamer type of tuma, so it's not a steerer of Meir on himself. The Gemara says no. Tanya, we have a brisa that tells us Rabbi says echad tevul yom echad shar tumas, that tevul yom and all tumas really have the same din. So Rabbi Yochanan did have a good question on Rav Meir. Ask the Gemara, v'dilma leRabbi leShani le or Meir Shani le. Maybe Rabbi doesn't differentiate between these tumas, but Rav Meir does differentiate between tevul yom and other tumas. So Rabbi Yesh explains, you're right. Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. This Rabbi Yochanan really meant to say when he was asking this question, Ledivrei Rebbe Mukhlef Zashita. According to Rebbe, that there's no difference between Tevul Yom and other types of Tumas. So then, the way that the Mishnah quoted Rav Meir's Shita, it would be steered to whether Rav Meir holds elsewhere. But again, it's only in Shita's Rebbe. Either which way, we see that Rabbi Yochanan holds just like Abaye's way of explaining what the Machlokes Rav Meir and Rav Shimon is in our Mishnah. And we're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow with another four explanations. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.